Our reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. It should appear on the screen, hopefully, as well. So in Hebrews we read, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Nice and short one this morning. So good morning. It's great to be back in the more humble surroundings of CBC, having been in the cathedral in midweek. But it was a great time to worship with our brothers and sisters across the city. And as Andrew said, it was a real encouragement, I think, for everyone that was there. On that Thursday, today. And it struck me while we were there, actually, looking at our congregants that had made it to the cathedral on Thursday, just how blessed we are with workers and contributors and just our body as a whole in this church, the amount of people that are willing to support and encourage us. For me, that was a real blessing just to kind of look out and see that. In our relatively small house compared to the wider House of Canterbury. And as the theme of this morning's service is encouragement, I thought it'd be great to start with some encouraging words for you guys. 2018 is going to be a big year in the life of CBC. It's going to be a big year in the life of Canterbury. That's my hope and that's my feeling for this year. But with the Lord on our side, with God on our side, it's going to be an amazing year as well. However, and however big or however small a part of it you are part of it, each and every one of you. Let me encourage you from the outset, as the Bible actually commands me to do, to say you are doing a great job. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, whether it's here or outside of here, God wants you to do more of it. You are doing a good job. There'll be more on that later, but be encouraged because God believes in you. So, Hebrews. Commentators debate the source of Hebrews as a book. Some say it's a letter to a church, much like Paul's letters, whereas most commentators, they actually believe it's more like a homily or a sermon. But regardless of what it is or why it was written, one thing that stands out amongst all the commentaries and from my own reading is that it's very clearly a book designed to encourage the early church and the churches beyond. Hebrews is full of references to our newfound covenant with God, which was newfound at that time, to the confidence that Jesus' sacrifice had brought us our salvation. The writer of Hebrews, whoever he or she was, clearly believed that the early church, the early fragments of the Father's house, needed encouragement. And not just from him or her, but from each other as well. Brothers and sisters, we have come a long way in 2,000 years, but that's one thing that I do not think has changed. Evidence actually shows that we need even more encouragement. We need to encourage each other even more. I think from the cusp of civilization, we've had this half full or half empty mentality within our humanity. I want to encourage you to be half full with each other this morning. It's a big part of what we want to do. And we may think we might know more now than our ancestors did, that we maybe don't need to be reminded to encourage each other because it should just come naturally to us. We've had 2,000 years of practice. But let me ask you a question. Let me offer you a challenge just to ponder while I talk this morning. Which is, if you count up the number of negative things you've said about your brothers and sisters in the past week, and compare it to the amount of positive things you've said to them, I wonder how you would add up. It's certainly something I've reflected on myself. Do we say more negative things about people than we do positive things for them? And that's something we really need to think about and change. An expression I heard on the telly while I was thinking and preparing this sermon was that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. But friends, we are one body. We are brothers and sisters. We are a family. We should want to use honey anyway. We should want to encourage each other. We should want to spur one another on. In this house, as in any family, we need each other. My prayer this morning is that we learn to become good brothers and sisters to one another. We are in the Father's house, after all. Surely we want to use honey, not vinegar. Surely we should be cheering for each other's successes and encouraging each other in each other's failures, not just being annoyed or upset at one another. So what does it mean to spur one another on towards love and good deeds? How does that work? It's really simple, really. It means looking out for each other, helping each other get better in Christ. It means looking at the brother and sister, even either side of you at church on a Sunday, and being part of their process, being part of their spiritual life, helping them work towards love and good deeds. I think there can be an attitude here and probably across churches across the country of that's their thing and therefore that's their problem. That, for example, I'm not that interested in the children's work because that's Hannah's domain and I don't have children anyway. Or finances, well, that's Michelle's problem. Let's leave that with Michelle. Or the church's charitable status, well, that's Ken's problem. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. My brothers and sisters, I offer you this. With the attitude of the Father's house, with the aim of spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, make these your problems too. Don't assume that because Hannah, Michelle, Ken, or anyone else for that matter, hasn't asked for your help, love, support, prayers, that they don't need it, that they don't need that encouragement, because believe me, they do. We all do. I want to really encourage you as a house this morning to spur them on and each other, to take these responsibilities as your own as well, even if you're not leading that ministry. Offer a word of encouragement to those around you. Find out how the person next to you is serving, either in the church or outside of the church, and ask how you can help with that. You may not realize it. A small conversation, though, could make a huge difference. It could lead somebody to a place of love, a place of good deeds, into a better place with God. An example of this is in my own life and within my own life of this church, in that I am studying as well as working, as is my wife Cassie, and we are both often encouraged by people asking about our studies and people following up when they know we've got tough assignments or tough exams. And it might seem small at the time, but it makes a huge difference. The words of encouragement, the checking in on how things are doing, it's all huge. It seems small, but it's so massively appreciated. I want to encourage you this morning just to say that a small act, a small conversation, can make a huge difference. And let's not do it with an agenda. It's quite easy to encourage the person who you need help from, isn't it? But maybe it's not always easy to encourage the person that seems quite far away from you. Let's not do it with an agenda, like, for example, this squirrel did. For those that can't read it, I'll read it out for you. This is the squirrel of encouragement. And the squirrel's saying, "You're super great, so impressive. And the boy says, thanks, I really needed that, but I don't have any food for you. Squirrel, then I take it all back. The squirrel of encouragement. Let's not take it back. Let's use our love for one another, our love for our family, to do what we're called to do and encourage regardless, with no agenda, with no food on the table. Earlier on in Hebrews 3:13, the writer says, encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another daily. Now that's a target that I can get on board with. Not for food, as the squirrel did, not for your own agenda, but just to help your brothers and sisters, to help your brothers and sisters avoid sin. Let's be a church that works together to help one another to avoid sin. Not through rebuking, although there is a time for that, but through encouragement. Wouldn't it be great if we heard stories in this father's house of sin avoided because of encouragement of one another? That would be an encouragement in itself. And do not give up on meeting each other, as some are in the habit of doing. This, according to the commentary I was reading, was all about church. I didn't fully agree with the commentary because I think church is a lot more than a Sunday. Church is a lot more than what we do here. I think we can meet each other in coffee shops. We should be meeting each other in our homes. We should be meeting each other as much as we possibly can. I think it's a message for all Christians to be together, to encourage each other. How can we encourage each other if we are not present with each other? Not just physically, but emotionally and mentally and spiritually too. Be a presence in the Father's house. Be a presence here as you expect others to be a presence here with you. Now, church attendance has been an issue since churches began. Some of the early church writings talk of the inconsistencies of attendance. So help your brothers and sisters by encouraging them to stay part of the church family. A common complaint amongst those who leave churches is that when they go, no one follows up on them. No one encourages them to come back. A family friend of ours, she was massively discouraged in her faith and her church life because she went on a two-month career break to Japan. She went to returned to her church quite excited and recharged. And her church was fairly big, but it wasn't Hillsong. And she was welcomed as a first-time visitor. She'd only been gone for 2 months. She had attended for 2 years prior to that. She then spoke to someone she felt she knew quite well in the church. And their response was, oh, I didn't even realize you'd been away. How discouraging was that for her, that the church she felt was her family, her brothers and sisters, hadn't even noticed she'd been away. I hope we never get into a state of affairs in this church where somebody leaves for that long and isn't noticed. Do not give up on meeting each other, as some are in the habit of doing. Keep coming to church, my friends, but also look out for those that aren't coming to church. Stay in touch. That may just be the little nudge they need to encourage them to stay. Your encouragement as a body is not a small thing. It can be the difference between someone retaining a spiritual life and somebody losing it. Take the time to encourage one another and to carry on meeting each other. And that's when God will work. And just to encourage you and to finish off the story of our family friend, well, this lady, she found a new church. She found a church that encouraged her, utilised her gifts and skills, a church that contacted her if she was unwell or went away for a while. And she actually became my youth leader. And if that hadn't happened, she wouldn't have done. She felt part of that father's house and was encouraged by brothers and sisters. Friends, let's be like the second church. Let's encourage each other by being present, but also by encouraging those that cannot be present. Let's make our habit encouragement. Let's make meeting each other a habit as well, on Sundays and beyond. And I believe we'll be blessed by that. And then encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Encouragement is an important part of being part of the Father's house. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul writes, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." That shows that Paul saw this as an important thing to do, that God saw it as an important thing to do in the early church and beyond. The line that always strikes me here is, "just as in fact you are already doing." Paul was not condemning or judging the early church. He wasn't saying it was something new that needed to start. It was something he was encouraging them to continue. Our Hebrews writer adds to this by stating that we should be encouraging each other all the more. So more and more and more as we see the day approaching. In this house, in this church, there will be ample time and room to criticize and chastise. There are infinite things to find wrong. But that's not what we're told to do. We're told to love each other. We're told to build each other up. We're told to encourage one another. Let's find and make time for that. And we need to be doing it all the time. We need to do it more as the day is approaching. Well, the day is getting closer and closer every single day. And for those of us that are, most of us that are, we need to continue to do it, as in fact you're already doing. So how do we go about this in the Father's house? Well, lots of ways really, but we need to know each other. We need to be a family that cares. We need to spend time talking and praying together. We need to know what people are doing in order to encourage them. Spend time together. I asked earlier whether you think you've encouraged people enough in this church. I just want to add to that, that you can never encourage too much. Let's make encouragement the habit which we have in this place. Not bad words or poor attendance, but let's make encouragement what we are doing for each other and for the community. Maybe you have a word for someone, but you've been too nervous to share it because you don't know how they'll react. Have courage and encourage them with the word that God's given you. Maybe you're not sure how to encourage someone. Then simply start by finding out what they do and offer them prayer. Maybe you've seen someone in church doing some really great work, but you weren't sure how to approach them on it. Take this opportunity. Share with them that they're doing something great. Maybe send someone a letter or an email and just offer a word of encouragement. Wouldn't it be great to have an inbox filled with positivity as we take on our year of hope? There are so many different ways of encouraging one another. And as a family under the Father's roof, that is exactly what we should be doing. Spurring one another on towards the goal. You have no idea how much of an impact a small amount of encouragement could have on your brother or sister's spiritual life. So maybe this morning you want to commit to encouraging someone. If that is you, then please do something about it. Please don't just sit on it and forget about it. We have a great house. We have a prayer team. We have various ministries. We have a minister and a minister in training. Please talk to us about it. If you're feeling discouraged, again, please come to us and talk to us about it. And we'll try and encourage you that you are welcome and part of this family. We will be a great house if we are encouraging of one another. If our tongues and our actions are filled with helping and positive words and prayers to one another, that is when great things will be done for the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the advice given to encourage one another, Lord. I pray that we remember that we are humans and that we're filled with emotions, but that we can spur one another on, that we can do good things through you. Lord, give us the strength, give us the courage, give us the right words to say to encourage one another under this roof of yours. Be with us, Lord. Amen.